You know, growing up in the church as a kid, we always had a practice on Easter Sunday morning where the preacher would say, "He is risen," and we would repeat, "He is risen indeed." So for the sake of an old man, just kind of indulge me. He is risen. Amen. Amen. Brings back memories, good memories. I want to welcome you here this morning. It's great to have you worshiping with us as we celebrate our Lord's resurrection. And my Easter gift to you is today on the outline, I filled in the blanks for you. Okay? I know some of you are going to wonder what you're going to do with your pens. You can doodle, draw pictures. But anyway. You know, I was talking to Pastor Steve, and he was talking about how Easter Sunday he would come up, and it's like, okay, what are we going to preach on today? You know, I've preached on Easter for the last, he was at the church for 25 years, and what do you preach on? And I was reminded that throughout the New Testament, if you look at anywhere where it mentions, where Paul talks about him preaching, he said, "I preach Christ and him crucified." Over and over again, "I preach Christ and him crucified." Because that's the gospel. And that's the most important thing we can look at. So today I'm going to preach Christ and him crucified. But I've entitled today's message, "Real Freedom." And so I want to welcome you here this morning. I don't know about you. When you think about Easter, you know, I always think about the first, you know, about the friends and the followers of Jesus Christ. And I think about the feelings that they must have had when they saw Jesus Christ put to death on the cross. Can you imagine how devastating that would have been? The disillusionment, the disappointment that they must have felt. But also imagine the incredible joy. For some, the incredible surprise when just 3 days later, Jesus raised himself back to life. In John, in the New Testament, John 8, Jesus made an incredible, profound statement. He said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." You'll be really free. What was he talking about? What does he set me free from? This morning, I'd like to talk about what real freedom is, what that means. The Bible says that Jesus wants to set you free in three dimensions. The first one is he wants to set you free from the pain of your past. That's a good thing. You know, I've discovered the number one cause of unhappiness in people who are kind of stuck in the past. You know, they're holding on to hurts. They can't relate to the present because they're still reacting to the past. I've discovered that there are two kinds of things that people have a hard time kind of getting over. One is resentment, and the other is regret. Resentment over the way people have hurt them, and regret over the way that I've hurt other people or that they've hurt themselves. And Jesus wants to set you free from both of those. First, he wants to set you free from the pain of resentment. Everybody here today, everybody has been hurt by someone else. Sometime in your past, you've been hurt many, many times. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. What do you do with that hurt? Well, what you do with it will determine whether you live freely or whether you live in the prison of pain. Think about it this morning. What have you never gotten over? What's gone on in your life? Maybe the failure where you fell flat on your face and you were embarrassed to death, or that abusive relationship, either physically or emotionally or maybe even sexually. Maybe you still Remember the rejection or ridicule of a parent that seemed to be constant in your life growing up. Maybe you've had a failed marriage. What is it this morning that you've never gotten over? What is it that even as I talk about it, the resentment kind of starts to creep back in, and you can think about the people that hurt you. Who is it that you hold a grudge against? Well, Jesus Christ wants to set you free from the pain of resentment so you can get on with your life, so you can get unstuck and get going forward. The Bible says in Isaiah 43, it says, the Lord says, forget about what has happened. Do not think about the past. Instead, look at the new thing I am going to do. God says, don't dwell on the past. Let it go. Give up your grudges. Let God settle the score. You know, he's keeping score. And he's keeping a record. And who can do a better job of even in the odds, that you or God? You know, why don't you just let God handle the people who've hurt you? And you get on with your life. God says, don't think about the past. Don't dwell on it. Let it go. Give up your grudges and let him handle it. You might be sitting there thinking, well, Dale, I'd like to, but I can't. You don't know how they hurt me. I can't just let it go. It hurts too bad. I can't forgive and forget. And you know what? You're right. That's why you need Jesus. Humanly, it is impossible for us to forget the past. You need supernatural power. You need God's love in your heart. You're never going to get free from your past until God is in your life. The past that keep you from moving on in the future. Friends, you need Jesus Christ. I don't know how you've been hurt, but God does. God knows how you've been hurt, and he's aware of it, and he can help you out of it if you'll give it to him. I like this verse in Psalm 34. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those whose spirits have been crushed. You know, I have no doubt that there may be people in here today with broken hearts. You know, some people say, well, where is God when you hurt? Scripture says he's close to you. You might think, well, I don't feel close to God. It's because you're not plugged in. It's not because God's distant. You've moved away. You're not plugged in. You're not aware. God is close to the brokenhearted. He wants to comfort you. He wants to help you out. So if you're in pain today, I want to say to you, God is with you. You say, nobody understands what I've been through. You're right, but God does. God understands. He's seen every beat of your heart. He's seen every breath you've taken. He's watched the good, the bad, the ugly in your life, and he still loves you, and he wants to help you get over the pain of resentment. He also wants to help you get over the pain of regret. Not only have people hurt you in life, but you've probably done some pretty dumb stuff yourself, okay? I know I have. You've pulled some stupid mistakes or blown it. You know, we've all hurt other people, and as a result of that, because nobody's perfect and we've all made mistakes, we all carry regret. Guilt is a terrible thing to carry around. It leaves you miserable. It saps your energy. You end up punishing yourself, and you end up playing the if-only game. You know, if only I knew then what I know now. If only I could just erase the past. If only I could turn back the clock. If only I could pull that bad mistake back, that stupid decision. I would do it so differently today. And so we live in the prison of regret and guilt. You know, I wish I'd listened sooner. What happens? When we fill our lives with regrets, we can't live with that. So we try to blame other people. We try to pass the buck. You know, but most of the time we just try to bury our guilt, bury our shame, bury our regrets. We can do it by booze, by pills, or half dozen other things. And most of the time, most people just try to bury it by staying busy. You know, one of the reasons some of you are workaholics is you don't like the way you feel when you're quiet. So you just keep busy, keep on working. You can't stand to be quiet because of all the past and the regrets and the resentment come crushing in on you. So you work your tail off, and then when you go to bed, you put your head down and you fall asleep instantly because you don't like that time when you're lying there thinking about your life. It doesn't feel so good. I've talked to a lot of people over the years, and a lot of people are looking back on some of their life decisions. They're saying, I wish I had never done that. I wish I could call that back. And they live in the prison of regret, trapped by past mistakes. Maybe you felt like that. Maybe you felt like Humpty Dumpty. Nothing could put me back together again. You're wrong. The God of Easter specializes in new beginnings. That's what Easter is all about. If you don't get anything else, get this. God does not want you walking around with a load of guilt and regret. If you think God wants to make you feel guilty, you really have a warped view of God. God doesn't want you to carry around guilt. That's why he came up with a plan to relieve it. That's what Easter is all about. He sent Jesus Christ, his only son, to earth to die for all the dumb things that I've done. You know, he sent Jesus Christ to earth to die for all the dumb things that you've done. All our stupid decisions, all the bad things, the selfishness, the unthoughtfulness, the unkindness. To die for that and to pay for all my sin and yours so that you don't have to pay for it. What a deal. Scripture says all of us have sinned, yet God declares us not guilty if we trust in Jesus Christ, who in his mercy freely takes away our sins. What a deal. If we trust in Christ, he pays for all our mistakes. And we get away free. That's called freedom from the pain of your past. Again, what a deal. Would you like to be free from resentment and regret? Here's what the Bible says you do. Put your heart right. Reach out to God. Then face the world again firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory like floods that are past and remembered no more. Are you, this morning, are you still punishing yourself for your past? Jesus Christ was hung on a cross so that you could stop hanging yourself on a cross. He was hung up for your hang-ups. He's already paid for all your wrongs. Don't you think you've been in misery long enough? Don't you think it's time for a little relief from the past? The resentments and regrets. Jesus Christ wants to set you free from the pain of your past. This Easter, if you'll turn it all over to him, he will set you free because he specializes in new beginnings. Here's the second thing. Jesus Christ wants to set you free from the pain of your past, but he also wants to set you free from the pressures of today. That's the second dimension of freedom. Do you ever feel like your life is just kind of spinning out of control? You know, do you ever feel like it's out of balance? Do you ever feel, ever get tired of just thinking about all the things that you've got to do? Do you ever wish you could just kind of sit on the sidelines of the human race, you know, for just a week so you could do whatever you really wanted to do? Life is getting more complex and speeding up more as we go along. It's definitely getting faster, and it certainly isn't as simple as it used to be. You know, we've even come up with a whole new vocabulary of terms to describe our stress and pressures of today's living. We say, I'm worn out, or I'm played out, I'm stressed out, I'm burnout, I'm run down, and I'm used up, I'm bushed. I'm exhausted, frazzled, bone weary, dead tired. Help me on this. I'm on my last leg, yeah. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm about to come un. Yeah. You guys know the same vocabulary. You know, I'm ready to throw in the, I'm glad nobody said the brick or anything else. You know, sometimes the stress gets so heavy, you feel like you're at a breaking point. You feel like you're going to go under and go under for the last time, and you wonder, how can I handle this pressure? Life is getting more and more complex. When you're under pressure, you need two things. You need strength and you need stability. God offers them both to you. Scripture says God never grows faint or weary. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. Friends, God is saying, I want to give you power when you're worn out. The reason you're so tired all the time is because you were never meant to live life on your own power. God meant for you to have a relationship with Him, to be plugged into Him, to gain power from God. When you're out there trying to live life all in your own power, it's no wonder you hit the wall. You know, it's no wonder you're constantly fatigued. I can remember once I was in a restaurant, and it was my second office, El Pollo Loco, and I was working on my laptop, and it kept shutting down because the battery is drained. And so I plugged it into the wall, and I kept typing. About every 2 minutes, it kept shutting down. And I restarted, and it shut down. I rebooted it, and it shut down. You know, the old cold boot fixes everything, right? After 4 or 5 times, I figured it out that I plugged it into the wall, but the wall jack didn't have any power in it. Even though I thought it was plugged in, I was still running off of a drained battery. Have you ever tried to live life like that? You keep shutting down when your battery's drained, and when your emotional, physical, and spiritual battery's drained. Jesus Christ has all the power you need. He proved it at Easter. He said, let them kill me. Put me in a grave. I'll stay there 3 days. I'll rise myself back to life to prove I am who I say that I am. I am God. And that's exactly what he did. And that's why a couple billion people will be celebrating Easter this weekend, because it was the most powerful event in history when Jesus raised himself back from the dead. All of history is divided into AD and BC by that event. It's the most significant event in history. Every time you write a date, whether you believe in Jesus Christ or not, you're using Jesus as the reference point. You're using the resurrection as a reference point. You know, I think it's interesting to talk about how life is sped up. This is the first time I've ever brought my phone into the pulpit. I've got it on buzz, so don't nobody text me because it'll scare me. How many of you have a smartphone out there? Okay. How many flip phone people? Ah, we still got a couple flip phone people. How many of you ever run out of battery on your smartphone? Yeah, they're not so smart. Do you guys know what this is? That's a backup battery. They gave it to me with the smartphone. I don't know how to use it. It does have a little flashlight on it, and it has bars. But our lives are so busy now. We're living in the smartphone age. And a lot of times we're running low on our batteries, and so we got to plug in the old spare battery so that we can text or tweet or whatever you do on your phone. You know, in life, I think a flip phone is better. You want God's power? Just flip open his battery, God's word. Flip it open, because that's where you get the power of God. That's where you get God's power. Here's the good news. It bothers me to have that up there. You know why? It's got the time right on the front. Just kidding. Here's the good news. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead can raise you up from your problems. It's available to you. If Jesus Christ can raise a dead person, he can raise a dead marriage. He can raise a dead career. He can raise a dead relationship. He can do anything. He's got all the power you need. When you get God's power in your life, you're set free from the pressures of today because you can handle anything. Like Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I am ready for anything. He said, I can do all things through Christ. Through the great motivational steps, I got off television. No, that's not what Paul said. He's not talking about some self-help, talk yourself into it, positive mental thinking. You know, I think I can do it. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, psychology. No, he was saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You don't have enough power to make it. That's why you're tired all the time. You need a source stronger than you to make it in life. And this battery thing won't work. You need God's word. You need God in your life. Let me ask you a very personal question. And since it's personal, you don't have to yell it out loud. What is it this morning that has you so stressed out? What are you under pressure about? Is it your finances? Conflict in your marriage? Maybe your kids aren't acting the way you want them to act, or you're worried about your job, you're worried about your health. What has you stressed out? Instead of giving up, why not just give it up? Give it up to God. God, you take it. You said you'd help me with the pressures of today. I give it up to you. If the truth were known, if we could do an x-ray of everybody's heart today, many of you are running on empty. Right now you're running on empty. You're emotionally empty. You're physically empty. Maybe you're spiritually empty. Probably the biggest disease in America today is what I call the Kodak syndrome. We've got people who are overexposed and underdeveloped. You didn't get into this problem overnight. You're not going to get out of it overnight, but you can take the first step today. You can make a spiritual commitment to Christ and say, set me free from the pressures of today. Jesus says this in Scripture, are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on real rest? And you'll recover your life, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Friends, he will set you free from the pressures of today. In the Bible, God is compared 42 times to a rock. He's called the Rock of Ages. He's called our eternal rock. He's called the rock of our salvation, and many other items. Why would God compare himself to a rock? Well, rocks are steady. Rocks are solid. Rocks are strong. The rocks don't give in to pressure. They don't crumble easy. God says, that's the kind of stability and strength I can put in your life if you let me be the rock of your life. Jesus was not only called the Rock of Ages in the Bible, he's called the chief cornerstone. I don't know if any of you have been to Europe and looked at some of the older great cathedrals and those stone buildings. The cornerstone was a stone that they would lay first, and then they would build the whole building around it. It's centered around that cornerstone. It handles enormous weight and stress. So this morning, what's the center of your life? If the center of your life is not something that can never change, you're going to fall apart. If the center of your life, if you centered around your career, guess what? That can change. You know, you could lose your career. If you center your life around another human being, someday you're going to lose that other human being. If you've centered on anything that changes, you don't have a solid core in your life. And it's no wonder that you're under stress. On the other hand, If you build your life on Jesus, the solid rock of ages, and you make him the cornerstone of your life, you can handle anything. If you don't have a solid foundation in your life, you don't have a solid rock on which you're building your life, it's no wonder you get stressed out as the relational and financial earthquakes of life happen. Jesus Christ wants to set you free from the pain of your past, resentment and regrets, from the pressures of today. And then there's a third dimension. He wants to set you free from pessimism about tomorrow. There's a lot of pessimistic people today. People have lost faith in a lot of things. They're pessimistic about the safety of their kids at school. They're pessimistic about the moral decay in our society. They're pessimistic about the inability of our government to really make any major changes. They're pessimistic about how there's injustice in our criminal justice system, and they're pessimistic about the loss of privacy in their lives. But really, when you get down to it, most people are discouraged about personal issues. And I meet a lot of discouraged people. What is it that causes people to lose hope? Why is it that we lose hope so quickly? When you boil it all down, I think there's two reasons why people lose hope. One is when you're facing a situation that needs to be changed and you can't change it. So you lose hope. Whether it's another person you want to change, or yourself you want to change, or a circumstance you want to change, and you can't change it, you begin to lose hope. I can't tell you how many people have said to me, "My marriage is hopeless. I have tried and tried and tried to make this thing work. It isn't working. We talked it over. We've gone to a counselor. It isn't working." And the hope begins to drain out. Or parents will say, "I watched my kids heading off in this direction, and I am helpless and hopeless to get them back on track. I feel such a sense of despair." Or people will say, "No matter what I do, my finances are getting worse and worse. I'm getting further and further behind." And they're hopeless as far as finances. By the way, we're starting, just a little commercial, we're starting a Financial Peace University. And it's a class. It's going to be Sunday afternoons at 4:30 right here at the church. It's powerful financial truths out of God's word. If you're interested, want more information, see Wendell at the back table there. Or people will say, "My parents, I watch them aging in front of my eyes and they're losing their health. My parents are dying and I'm helpless to do anything about it." Or they'll say, "I see things in my life that I'd really like to change. I don't want to stay the same. I want to grow. I want to develop. I want to be different. But I just can't get it together no matter what I do." And when you face a situation like that, the hope starts to drain out of your life. And you say, "I guess I'll just settle. I guess I'll settle for second best. I guess this is the best I can expect out of my marriage. I guess this is the best I can expect as a single adult." And they begin to lose hope. Here's another reason we lose hope and become pessimistic, and that's when you don't know the purpose that God made you for. The Bible is very clear that everybody on this earth, God made them for a specific reason. The sad thing is, most people go all through life never discovering either a relationship with God or the purpose that he put them on earth for. And that's why our church is here, to help you discover both of those issues. If you don't know your purpose in life, life is pointless. So you think, "Well, why bother? Why get up in the morning? If there's no purpose to it, why not just check out right now? You know, we're all going to die anyway. Things may really be going good in your life, and you've got the car, and you've got the house, and you've got the marriage and the kids, and it all looks good. But when you face the inevitable roads, winding roads and tough times and emotional crises of life, where's your hope going to be if you're just hoping for good times all the time?" Nobody just sails through life. You can turn around and ask everybody in your row, even if it's just you. Nobody sails through life. Have you ever wondered, what does God think of me? Have you thought about that? You know, maybe you've even wondered, does God even think about me? The truth is, God thinks about you all the time, far more than you think about him. The Bible tells us that God is constantly thinking about you. What does he think about you? Does he think about how bad you are? No. Does he think about what a disappointment you are? No. Does he think about how you just don't measure up to his standard of perfection? No. That's not what God thinks. The Bible tells us what God thinks about you. Listen to this. I know what I am planning for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you hope and a good future. That's what God is thinking about you. He plans, his plans for your life are good plans, and his plans for your life are full of hope. You've got to have hope. Hope is essential for life. You've got to have hope to cope. You can live 40 days without food. You can live 3 days without water. You can live 8 minutes without air. But you can't live 1 second without hope. The moment you lose hope, you're no longer living. You're just existing. When inevitable tough times come into your life, who are you going to turn to? Where is your source of hope? Where is your rock? You know, we are living in a time when change is happening at a greater and greater rate, so fast that nobody in this room could possibly keep up with all the changes going on in the world. In a time when the world is changing rapidly and everything's up in the air, you need what Alvin Toffler in his book calls islands of stability. And that's some things that never change in your life, some emotional and spiritual anchors that hold you down when everything is flying apart. I'd like to ask you, what are your spiritual anchors? Do you have them? Do you have a relationship with God? Have you made that kind of commitment to him? Psalm 125:1 says, those who trust the Lord are as steady as Mount Zion, unmoved by any circumstance. Where do you get the source of hope when things are going wrong? One thing you can know for sure is that no matter what happens, the one thing that you can count on is God's never going to stop loving you. Scripture says, the Bible says, the mountains and hills may crumble, but my love for you will never end. So says the Lord who loves you. You know, before you were born, long before you were born, God began orchestrating the events of your life to bring you to a point that you could get to know him. You were made to be loved by God and to be known by God. He knows everything about you. He wants you to love him and know him back. So he's been designing circumstances to help you get to a point that you can get to know him. And that's why, that may be why he brought you here today. Everything was done so you would come. All of your life has been preparation for this moment. God has been trying to get your attention, to get you to slow down just long enough so that he could say, you matter to me. You're valuable to me. I've seen every breath you could take. I've watched you form in your mother's womb. I've seen the good and the bad and every part of it, and I still love you. I want you to know me the way I know you. He brought you here this morning. I believe that. He brought you here this morning. You're not here by accident. You may think you're here because a friend invited you, or you saw a poster or something on Facebook. You're not here by accident. God wants you to get to know him. Now, I'm not talking about religion. I don't care what religion you are. God doesn't care what religion you are. You know, you may be Catholic or Protestant or Jewish. You may be Baptist or Buddhist, or you may have no religion at all. I'm not really interested in that. What I want to know is, do you have a relationship with God? Not religion, a relationship with God. Not just do you know about God, but do you know God? Maybe you felt close to him in the past, but you've drifted away. Why don't you come home this Easter? Maybe you felt unworthy. Maybe you fell. You know, you think, I can't come to God because of all the stuff I've done in my life. You're wrong. God has a gift for you through Jesus Christ. It's freedom. It's freedom from the pain of your past, the pressures of today, and the pessimism or worry or doubt or fear about tomorrow. What a deal. But a gift is worthless if you never receive it. You've got to take it. For example, this is a $20 bill. Some of you think it's fake. It's not. My wife's sitting over here. I'm going to move over here. This is a $20 bill. How many of you would accept this if I gave it to you? John's the first one that's his hand. Some of you don't want a $20 bill. Okay. Okay, how about now, would you take it? Really? How about now? My wife's going to sneak up there and take that, I know. You know, it doesn't matter what has happened to it, whether it was nice and crisp or whether it was wadded up or whether it was stepped on, the value is still the same. You know, you may have some scars and some hurts in your life. There may be a little dirt in your life. You may have not, but you have not lost your value to God. It doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is what direction your feet headed today. Would you like a fresh start with God? You can have it. How do you do it? Jesus tells us how. I stand at the door and knock. He's talking about coming into your life. He says, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and fellowship with him. Have a relationship with him. Not religion. A relationship. Here's the good news. When Jesus Christ comes into your life, you don't have to clean up your house first. You know, he doesn't say get your act together and then come to God. He doesn't say clean up your act and be perfect and then come to God. No, he says, let me into your life and I'll help you clean it up. I'll help you get it together. In fact, there are areas of your life that you're never going to get together on your own. You've tried and you've failed. Most of you this morning walked in here under a banner that said no perfect people allowed. Some of you kind of dodged a little bit, but y'all came under that banner. No one in here is perfect. No one has their act together. You just need God's power in your life. And he says, just let me in. What do you have to lose? The pain of your past, the pressures of today, and the pessimism about tomorrow. That's what. What do you have to gain if you open up your life to Christ? Everything. Forgiveness. My past is forgiven. I get a reason for living, and I get a home in heaven. What a deal. Why in the world would I walk out on that kind of love? Friends, you can have it. You can have it Easter 2017. Would you bow your heads with me? I'm going to pray a prayer as we close. Just like I prayed many years ago as a child when I stepped across the line and asked Jesus Christ to set me free and come into my life. And you can follow me in it. It doesn't matter what word you say in your heart. What matters is your heart. But first, I'd like to pray for you, and then you can follow me in a prayer. Heavenly Father, I know that there are people here today who have never really begun a relationship with you. Maybe they've gone to church, maybe they've had religion, but a relationship with you. And they know about you, but they haven't ever really gotten to know you. as best I know how, I've tried to communicate the difference Jesus makes in our lives this morning, and I pray that you would give them the courage to make the wisest decision in their lives and open their hearts to you. Now, I encourage you to pray along with me if you have never stepped across the line, never accepted Jesus Christ in a personal relationship. You can just pray these words in your heart. Dear God, thank you for loving me in spite of all my faults. Today I've realized that a lot of my problems are because you haven't been the center of my life. I admit I haven't fully realized until now how much I need you. God, I need your help to let go of the past. I need you to forgive me for the things I've done wrong, and I need you to give me the power to forgive others and let go of the ways I've been hurt. I need your strength and stability to handle the stress and the pressures I'm facing right now. God, I need the assurance that you'll be with me no matter what the future holds. God, I need to know the purpose, the reason that you made me for, and I need to accept your free gift of eternal life in heaven. Jesus Christ, I don't understand it all, but I'm amazed that you would care enough to want a relationship with me. So today, as much as I know how, I want to open up my life to you. I want to get to know you. I want to learn to trust you to meet the deepest needs of my life. In your name, amen.